Okay, Gedvach, today's daf is Pesachim daf mem tes, a very, very geshmak and daf, a little bit of almost a Gadata style type daf. We get very into the ideas of marrying proper Shaduchim, Talmud Chacham, as opposed to Am Haaretz, Bas Koyen, who she should be marrying to, a whole very interesting daf. I guess I'd call borderline Agada. A nice, that's not a short daf, but it goes very, very geshmak daf. Before we get there, we actually did not quite get to Mem Tes Aleph, the Mishnah on top. It's two short Mishnayos Gemaras we have to do, starting with Mem Ches Amud Beis, the bottom. Mem Ches Amud Beis, the bottom, the Mishnah. Let's quickly go through that last Mishnah, the bottom of the Amud, and hopefully we'll catch up in due time. Says the Mishnah, Sa'ar. Now the Shnai be confused with Sa'ar. Sa'ar is always like a leavening agent, like a sourdough. That's a Sa'ar. That's Mamish Chametz Gomer. Seer is exactly the conversation here, which is not a fully leavened dough. So it's not fully leavened yet. The Mishnah is going to go into conversation exactly what stage it's at that we're calling it Seer. The Mishnah, the Gemara, we'll see very shortly. But Seer says the Mishnah Sa'ar needs to be burnt. Vaychle Pater needs to be burnt, but one who eats his Pater. No karis, no malchus. Not only is it not karis, not even a lav, according to this first shita, it's going to be Rabbi Yehuda shita, not even a lav, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's not even isidareisa. It's a form of maybe chametz neksha, but it's not even chametz neksha itself. It's not even usher on a deraisa level. It's debatable. The first discussed pashas, it's still usher even going to be the rabbinically, but there's not even malchus and certainly no chorus. There are those that want to say there's no malchus, no chorus, but there still is a form of isidareisa somehow from a lava machal. Say, that's some want to say, but okay, for now, at least we'll say you're not chai, you're putter from malchus and putter from chorus. That's for sure. Sidik is arif. However, once the dough is sidik means it has like furrows, it means it already has cracks in it. Once the dough has cracks in it, that's already more of a din, more of a status of chametz, and it's leavened already, and therefore you have to burn it, va'eichle chayiv karis, and the one who, in both cases you have to burn, by the way, but over here, the one who eats it is chayiv karis. Eiz a seer, what is seer? So according to the first opinion of the Mishnah, seer is kikarni chagavim, dough that has cracks like the antenna of locusts, where the cracks don't meet each other. Just like the antennas of locusts just stick out, but they don't touch each other. So too with dough that has cracks here and there, but they don't overlap. Siduk, shes arvistakas abizah. Siduk is when the dough has cracks that overlap one with the other. That's all the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda say no. In both the cases you just described, both of these doughs, whether the cracks are just spread out or whether they're overlapping, there's already going to be a chiyuv karis. So that's whatever you're saying, which is the lower madrega called seer, is not that. The two examples you just gave are mamish chayiv karis. What's the seer that was saying that a person is not chayiv karis for? Called shechziv upon him kadam shabdu b'sareisav. A dough where the face of the dough is turned pale, it gets like whitened. You ever see dough as it sits out, starts to get like a whitish color. When the face of a dough gets whitened, like a person, the example the Mishnah gives is whose hairs stand up on end because he's very frightened, the person's nervous, and his face turns pale, that pale coloring, that's the madrig of seer, where the Rabbanan agree that one is not chayiv karis for eating such dough. That's the Rabbanan's shear of seer, but the shear of the cracks, like the antennas of a grasshopper, or certainly cracks that overlap, according to Chum, in both those cases, there would be a chiv of karis. Says the Gemara Brisa, which seemingly relates to our Mishnah. Yes, Lazer. Fine. So the Gemara now is going to elaborate, really, bring a machlekes, which seems to parallel machlekes to the Mishnah, meaning in the sense that we're going to have the Shita of Rab Meir and the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, Rab Meir meaning like the Chumim, and Rabbi Yehuda. The problem is the way we quote Rabbi Yehuda doesn't compute exactly with the way we have Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. Let's see it inside. Tanabanim. Is a seer, what is seer? Kol shechziv upon of Kadam Shamdul Asar Esav. So this is exactly like the Rabbanan said at the end of our Mishnah. This is Torah of the Brisa, this first sheet of the Brisa, by the way, just to kill any suspense, is going to be the sheet of our Meir. But our Meir fits like the Rabbanan of our Mishnah. And he's saying, what's called seer? When the face of the dough becomes pale. Siduk is kacharne chagavim dir Meir. That's Mamish word for like Rabbanan in our Mishnah. That siduk is when already it's like the antennas, the cracks, like the antennas of the grasshoppers don't overlap, which is certainly, and Kol shekein when it's Mamish overlapping. So in those cases, that's called Siduk already. That's Rabbi Meir, who fits like a glove with the Rabbanan of our Mishnah. Now look at the Chacham of this Braisa, which presumably is Rabbi Yehuda. Chacham Eimrim, Eiz V'Seir, K'karnei Chagavim. Seer is K'karnei Chagavim. Siduk is Shesarvus HaSarkim Zabazah. So that's exactly like Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah. That seer is, when it's like the antennas of a grasshopper, that's seer, when the cracks are like the antennas of a grasshopper. And Siduk is when their cracks are already overlapping with each other. So far, everything fits perfect on Mishnah, except for the next five words. Vizev is eichle chayiv karis. And the Braisa, that Rabbi Yehuda says, that's what it sounds like, he's finished the Braisa. In both cases, one who eats his chayiv karis. Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah, very specifically said that you're not chayiv karis in the Mishnah for the case of seer. You're chayev for seeduk, he held. But seer, you're not chayev. Here in the Bryce, saying that you're chayev, said the Gemara, Baratran, seer yisarf, vaychle pater, to Behuda. We looked at a Mishnah, according to Behuda, seer is should be burnt, but one who eats says pater, not like what we're describing from Yehuda's opinion in the Brisa, answers the Gemara, that last line should be read, the last five words should be read, Ema, l'Reb Meir, stick in, going back on our Meir, Zeh v'zeh, ha'chayiv karas. According to our Meir, one who eats any of the scenarios that Rabbi Yehuda just defined, which again fits beautiful, like the Rabbanah of our Mishnah, the Rabbanah of Mishnah actually said that. If you go back to our Mishnah, what did the Rabbanah say? V'acham ha'imim, Zeh v'zeh, ha'chayiv karas. Rabbanah said about Rabbi Yehuda's cases of the grasshopper antennas, and certainly the more cracks in both those cases, one is chayiv karas. So read that into the Brisa, read the last line as Rabbi Meir retorting to Rabbi Yehuda. Where you're calling what you're referencing as seer and seeduk, Rameir saying back to Yehuda, I hold both those are chayiv karas, none of them are seer, both those are considered a madrega already chayiv karas. Similar to Mishnah. Amar Rav, my time, Demeir, so Rav says, what's the Rameir? In the chokol satik v'satik mamala, shein lecha kamasar kamamata. Because you don't find if there's cracks above the surface, that doesn't have additional cracks below the surface, and that means there's plenty of cracks, that means it's already considered leavened dough, and therefore it's going to be considered it's basically when you say it has cracks like in the antennas of a grasshopper, that means it's like stuckim. That means it's the sarfum stuck already, because even though on the top the cracks aren't overlapping, if you couple with the cracks that are beneath the surface, then they're for sure overlapping, and that's already going to be enough to be chametz. Okay, top of memtes amud aleph mishnah, short mishnah gemara, very, very common case. What I mean by that is it happens every couple of years based on our calendars. This case comes up and there's many different shailos related to this case. Our mission focused on one shaila. We'll speak out a couple other ones outside quickly. Our boss is Shalit Shabbos. When 14th of Nisan, Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. Ma'arvim, Mevarin Esakom of Shabbos. So the mission is focused on when do you do the beer? When do you get rid of the chametz? When do you do the beer chametz, right? The other shailos that we have, we'll speak outside quickly before we even go right to the Mishnah. The other shailos we have is, of course, how to eat shal shudis. You're not supposed to eat that much on Erev Yontiv. How to eat the three meals. How to get shal shudis in there. So again, the minig is to wake up very early Shabbos morning, eat a meal before early, and then bench and eat another meal again before Shabbos. But again, there's a big shaila in the Mefarshim, how to deal with shal shudis. Or do you skip shal shudis? That is just a scenario. That's a big topic in the Mefarshim. We won't focus too much on that. But another big topic is, what are you eating exactly? What are you eating Shabbos morning? We're going to see the Mishnah. You're getting rid of the chametz. Machlekes, Rameir, and Rabbi Yehuda. When you get rid of the, Machlekes, Rameir, and the chamim. When do you get rid of the chametz? Do you get rid of it on Shabbos day? Or do you get rid of it before Shabbos? And we're talking Nayig, before we even get involved in the Mishnah. We're Nayig. We try to get rid of all the chametz. We do our bir chametz. We burn. We actually do bir chametz Friday morning. We do before Shabbos. We do like a Meir sheet, which is get rid of the chametz for Shabbos. So what are you going to eat on Shabbos morning? So we know what we do. We actually eat challah. We eat challah. We just leave over. We do beer chametz of all the other chametz. We leave over just what we need for the Shabbos morning meal. We eat it over napkins. We eat it very carefully. And that's what we do. We talk, leave over a little chametz, a little challah. What's the problem? Why can't you just eat matzah? Because we know whoever eats matzah on Erev Pesach is kabayil arusa, his wife, a beis arusasai. A person who eats chametz on Erev Pesach, the Gemara compares it to a person who prematurely has relations with his wife before they actually have a proper nesu and a proper marriage. He has relations with her prematurely. So it's eating matzah is considered a very big negative to eat it on Erev Pesach. And therefore, what do? We eat challah. That's what we do. L'maisa, there is a Balmar who says that no. The issur to eat matzah on Erev Pesach, again, many people have minignati matzah already from Rish Chodesh in order to make more excitement for the matzah. And some people have the minignati matzah already for a full month before. There are those that have different shitas, the matzah that we eat on Pesach, which is plain matzah, just water, of course, and flour, versus other matzahs we eat all year round, which could be matzah ashir, matzah that can't be used for the Seder anyway. And therefore, someone would say it's not such an issue. Again, different minhagim for different people, but the Hamayinam certainly takes on that we don't eat matzah on Erev Pesach itself, and we eat challah, and we make sure to just keep it tight where we're using it, and then we flush the rest down the toilet, or the like. The Baal Ma'ar suggests a different etzah. The Baal Ma'ar suggests that what do you do? You could eat matzah in the morning. Why? As long as you eat it before chatzais, it's fine. Only from chatzais, when it's bankar and Pesach, when it's man chametz, then you cannot eat matzah anymore. That's really the problem of boil arusa bebeis, right? Beis chamav. But if it's before chatzai, not a problem. That's a mechudish shikabamar. Ramban argues as a vada, the isser of eating matzah is the whole day before Pesach. From already the night before Pesach is ready the isser, and that's how we are taka nayig. Okay, but that's not really the focus of our Mishnah. That's just a very important conversation. What's the focus of our Mishnah? When and how do you get rid of the chametz? So, Tanakama or Meir says, Mevarnas akum vei Shabbos. You do beer before Shabbos, divrei Meir. But chamay mecham say, bismana, you do it on Shabbos, it's a regular time. Why? So the first should point out, again, here's a beautiful Balmar. Gemara points out, actually, let's finish the Mishnah, we'll get back to it. The Buzz Batzadik Omer, Truma Milfei Shabbos. Truma, you get rid of before Shabbos. The idea being, because Truma is harder to find people to get rid of on Shabbos, and therefore it's more likely going to run into a problem. So you just take care of it, get rid of it before Shabbos. Chulin, where, like we've had, we are, I'd also give Hayel, you may have guests. Chulin, where there's many more people that potentially you can share it with. Maybe you'll invite guests over. Maybe some people got rid of too much chametz and don't have enough food for Shabbos. Chulin is much easier to potentially have people consume it, and therefore bismanan, you wait for zman. So it's very similar, actually. If the setup of the mission sounds similar to what we've had in the past, it should. We had in the past machlekes between I forget if it was Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Meir. I'm forgetting, drawing a blank right now. But when do we? What hours? I think it was Rabbi Meir. What hours you have to get rid of the chametz, right? So we had said, could you eat chametz only to the 6th hour and burn it in the 6th hour, 6 to 7, or do you eat chametz only to the end of the? Only to the end of the 5th hour, 6th hour you do nothing, and then in the fifth hour you do nothing, I should say, and then in the 6th hour you burn it. Again, those are the two shitas we had in the beginning of the Mishnah about 30 blot ago. Again, the first sheet is you're able to eat chametz all the way till the 6th hour. That means through the end of the 5th hour till the 6th, and then you burn it right away in the beginning of the 6th before you get to chatzais. The second sheet was you eat till the end of the 4th to the end of the 4th hour till the 5th hour. 5th hour you do nothing, Thailand, and 6th hour is when you burn it. And then we had the sheet in between, maybe it was Rabbi Tarfin, who said that truma. You really leave around, you don't want to burn truma, so truma you leave around for the in between hour, but chulin you get rid of by the end of the 5th hour. So it's a little bit opposite of our deal. Our Mishnah with Rabbi Sadek is saying chulin we leave around on Shabbos because more of a chance of getting rid of it. Over there was truma you leave around for a little longer because we don't want to burn it. But again, a similar type of setup. We have arguments in exactly getting rid of the chametz. But what's really more negaya is a machlekes we've had multiple times in Masechta. How does one get rid of chametz? Do you get rid of chametz either burning or do you get rid of tashbisu b'chol davar? And seemingly the Baal Amar makes the connection, but the Gemara makes the connection. It's a Pella. Only the Baal Mar makes the connection. Baal Mar says these two Mishnayas are Mamish Toy Zabazah. Reb Meir Shears, and we had this earlier, there are Meir Shears. It was Reb Meir talking. Now I'm reminding you, it was Reb Meir and Rabbi Yehuda in that mission about the hours. And the reason why I'm reminded is because if you remember, that was one of our riots that our Meir greased Rabbi Yehuda that the way Gerard Chavis isn't burning. Because the Mishnah over there describes it. What do you do in the 6th hour? According to everyone, you burn it. Why does the Mishnah keep saying, talking about burning it? Or Tarfin, or Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, why are we talking about burning it? Maybe get rid of it in some other manner. It sounds like they all agreed to Rabbi Yehuda that Tashbisu is Dafka Al Yideish. So Reb Meir Taka subscribes to getting rid of the Eish. And therefore in Shabbos we can't burn the chametz. What do you do in our Mishnah? You get rid of it before Shabbos. Reb Meir, if it's beautiful, Shitasa, they hold the Kabbudah. You get rid of it. So it's like the Baal Mar. Where's the Rabbanan who say that Tashbis B'chol Davar, you can just crumble it and throw it into the air, or in a modern day equivalent, modern day case would be just flush it down the toilet, Tashbis B'chol Davar. So therefore you don't have to worry about burning it, and therefore you get rid of the chametz only on Shabbos itself, on proper Erev Pesach. That is Baal Mar's beautiful explanation of the Mishnah. L'maisa, the Ramban argues, and the Ramban says, no. Rabban said the reason why we get rid of it before Shabbos is because on Shabbos getting rid of chametz can lead to so many isurim. If you take it outside, it can be carrying. If you end up trying to burn and destroy it, you can end up being chayv on burning on Shabbos. It's also a problem of havara. So it's just safer to get rid of it before Shabbos. You don't have to apply that our mayor goes like the Shita Beruda. They have to do beer b'sreifa. Rather, it's just almost like exeris chamim. It's exeris chamim in order not to lead to other isurim. That's why we get rid of it before Shabbos. L'maisa arhan haga is interesting. We paskin. Like the Rabbanan, we pass in Tashbisu is B'chol Davar. We pass in Tashbisu is B'chol Davar. You let it get rid of it any form. We have spoken in the past many times that we're naive to try to do like a Yehuda, which is to burn the chametz. That's what we try to do. Erev Pesach, we talk about make a fire, we burn the chametz. But make it, then we pass like the Rabbanan. Yet we pass in, like Rabbanan is saying, that we get rid of the chametz for Shabbos. So again, according to Rabban, the explanation would be, why do you get rid of it for Shabbos? Because you want to avoid any potential issues on Shabbos. Any chol Shabbos, we get rid of as much as possible for Shabbos. And then, of course, we leave over what we need for our meal for Shabbos, Friday night, and Shabbos morning. And then we flush it, we get rid of it on Shabbos. But we're trying to be extra careful. That would be according to how the Rambam would learn. But the Itaka ask as a kasha on Rambam. Rambam, again, this is how we just point out how he paskin. Rambam says that he rules like a mayor, that you have to get rid of it here before Shabbos. He paskins you have to get rid of it before Shabbos like a mayor. But he passed out the chametz that Tashbisu b'chol davar. So why does he look a mayor? So again, according to the explanation we gave from the Ramban, the idea, the Ramban may have been going in a mayor, but the idea is that maybe we're machmer for this gzeira like a mayor, but just to be clear, Ramban was saying there a mayor doesn't have to subscribe to Sreifa, Rab Meir can hold that really Tashbisu b'chol davar, but he wants to do it early before Shabbos to avoid any issues, like a gzeira type of thing. And by the way, separately, Allah k'ra mayor, but gzeira said that could play a role as well. Maybe that's why machmel like a mayor. Okay, that's only Rabban. But the Rambam, they're bothered. He paskins like the Rabban Tashbisu b'chol davar, yet he paskins like a mayor to get rid of it. So the chayv, if you don't learn like the Rabban, that's gzeira. Is there another explanation in Rab Meir? That is the shaila. So there's a beautiful shtickle from Rabbi Yeshua ben Soloveitchik, other chayv being a similar type of lundus, and there's a gemara in Beitza. Rashi in Beitza, the gemara in Beitza is discussing destroying truma that became tame or kachin that became tame on yamtiv. And the more beitzah daf chazayin brings that you're not allowed to do it. And Rashi gives an explanation, and there's key words in Rashi. Rashi again beitzah daf chazayin. Rashi says that even though we have a concept of hoyel, you can make a fire for other purposes. That's mutter on yamtiv, and it's mutter to cook on yamtiv. So just throw this into the fire as well. You can't do it. You know why? Because rachmana achshavei l'sreifa. To cause the rabbanan said there's a din to burn kachim tameim. There's a din to burn truma tameya. So once there's a din to burn it, that sreifa becomes chashav. And once the sreifa becomes chashav, it becomes like a malacha on yamtiv. Again, even though hoyel would allow me to burn different things or cook different things on yamtiv, but specifically the sreifa of kachim or truma is more chamer because the achshavei rachmana makes it like in itself as a malacha. And therefore, they first want to say that Chanan say Rashaver and others. Rambam agrees even though he holds like the Chamim that the way to do Hashbisu is Taka b'Choldover is Lav Dafka b'Sreifa. But he agrees to Reb Meir that we specifically want to do before Shabbos because getting rid of the Chametz also on Shabbos, getting rid of it is more of a din. It's a din of Sreifa. It's a din of getting rid of it, and therefore you don't want to be over on Shabbos. Specifically over here on the FM test, even though in general Tashbis b'chol davar would be okay, nice kishmak echad from the Achrenim. Fine. Zok demar quickly, and then we'll get to our more of our Gadza Gemaras. Tanya, Rablaz Batzadik Eimer, Pamach Shavas Abba. Shabbos Abba Yavne. One time we spent with father Shabbos and Yavne. V'chalav ba'aser lias b'Shabbos and the 14th of Shabbos. Ubaz zunin memuna sharam gamil ba'amar zunin. The point of gamil came and he said as follows: Higi eis levayas chametz on Shabbos. It's time to get rid of the chametz. Who's that like? And I went after my father, and we get rid of the chametz. So on Shabbos, there's an announcement: Shain Tzayit, get rid of the chametz. You see that this they were noyig over here in Yavne. They were noyig like the chamim to get rid of the chametz on Shabbos itself, and not to do like a mayor and get rid of it before Shabbos. Okay, again, like I point out, Allah l'maisa, we do. I don't call it pshara. We're talking, I would say, for the most part, machmir like a mayor. Sorry, I understand it. We're machmir like a mayor to get rid of the chametz for Shabbos, except for the little bit we need for the Shabbos sudas. But otherwise, we do our beer chametz. We do bedikah Thursday night. We do our beer Friday morning. And then we just have the remaining chametz that we need for the meal on Shabbos. Like the Mishnah. One who goes to Shechtel Karm, he's on his way to Shechtel Karm Pesach. Obviously, a huge mitzvah. Or Limas B'nai to do meal on the sun. What's unique about these two mitzvahs? It'll be relevant for a nice little diak for the Miri. What's unique? These are the only two assays that carry with it a Chiyav Karis. There's 36 Chiyav Krisis in the first Mishnah of Besachas Krisis, 36 cases of Chiyav Krisis, 34 of them are negative commandments. Don't do this, don't do that. Only two of them are Bitl assays. If one fails to accomplish an assay, he's chayav karis. Only two. Which two? Karm Pesach and Bris Milah. So a person's on his way to do Bris Milah, on his way to do Karm Pesach. They were talking about on the 14th of Nisan, of course, Erev Pesach. Or lastly, Velecha Sudas Erisin Beis Chama. For he's on the way to eat his Sudas Erisin in the Beis Chama. He's on his way to eat his Sudas Erisin feast, his meal for Sudas Erisin in his father's house. So he's on his way to three massive mitzvahs. Unbelievable. The first two have mitzvahs that are chayav karis attached to them. And the third one is a seemingly an engagement party. A party for, again, Erison is better than engagement. Of course, Erison's a real Kedushin Dereisa, but he's gone his way to celebrate an Erison party. So we'll speak out now. The Miri points out that this is a Mishnah purposely put it here to teach us the importance of Erison and even a Sudas Erison. The importance of creating husband and wife and creating Shalom Benish Nishtai and creating a proper marriages. The Mishnah's putting it on par with being busy with the mitzvah of Karm Pesach and the mitzvah of Bris Milah, and the Mishnah lumps together, even though obviously it's not in the same level in terms of Chiyav Karis. Okay, what's halacha? Very good. So I wasn't going to figure it out, but we were tight on time, but very good, Liza, you brought it up. So Shechon Aruch writes, a big Suda is Asr on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov. Big Suda is Asr, exactly to your question. How are you making a big Suda Erison? It must be a cheap one. Magen Avram says, to your point, Our Mishnah is a Raya. Like this, it really fits well with the Meiri. Our mission is a Raya that Sudas Erison is something special. Even though you can't make another Sudas Tamazayan Erev Yom Tov Erev Shabbos, Sudas Erison vice versa you can. Even though it's an Erev Pesach especially, we know, is the Inyan Tita Matzah, yeah, 100%. So, some want to say it's earlier in the morning, earlier in the day, and therefore, it's actually pretty clear that it's earlier, because we talk about the guy remembering he has Chametz, he's had enough time to go, we'll see, in the Mishnah, he's had enough time to go back and get rid of the Chametz before his man, the Zman of Isser, so it seems to be it's earlier in the day, but even so, the Shechon Aruch brings, they quote the Shechon Aruch, they're not supposed to have any big Sudas on Erev Yom Tov Erev Shabbos, and the Magen Avraham wants to say that Sudas Erison is different based on our Mishnah. Very good, Lizer. Mechavet to the Magen Avraham. Okay, says the Gemara. He remembers that he has chametz in his house. In Yachal, this Erev Pesach, and he is on his way to do this mitzvah, and he remembers he has chametz in his house. If he has enough time to go home, get rid of the chametz, and go back to the mitzvah, not mess up this great mitzvah, not lose out on this mitzvah, yachzi bar. Go back to his house, get rid of the chametz, and then go to do the mitzvah. If he doesn't have enough time, he should do bitul belev, meaning Don't lose your mitzvah of Karban Pesach. Don't lose your mitzvah of Mila. Don't lose your Suda Zerison on account of the chametz. You know why? Because we have the option in our back pocket. What's the option? Of bitta b'leiv. We started the mesechta off. We discussed that lechayr bitta b'leiv. Obviously, the mesechta starts off with the bedikas chametz. But the part of that question, the Rashi of the end of Taisus was, what do you do bedikah? Taisus says, why don't you just do bittel? Taisus says, you cross the gemara a couple about later. Shem yimtzig gluskiyafa, because maybe find a nice cake. But that's a dindur abanan. Mina ikar adim minatayr. If you mevatel it, you're ready, good to go. There's not a problem, right? You're ready. You have no issue of being over by your matzah once you are mevatel chametz. Rabbanu Geizer, for various reasons, according to Tosfos, you may find a gluski yofka and eat it. According to Rashi, you may find a gluski yofka and rescind on your bittel and kind of be kind to be over by your matzah. That's Rashi's lashon in the beginning of the Masechta. But the point is, the Rabbanu relax their gezeira if it's going to come at the expense of doing the mitzvah Karban Pesach, or the expense of the mitzvah of Mila, or the expense of a Sudas Erison. So if you hear what we're saying, Vatabaliva, that's enough. One other point to Chazrova quickly, Vatabaliva, we spoke out, is that means really telling that same machlokes Rashi Tosfos. Is it a real bittel? Is it a hefker? Or is it just is bittel different than hefker? We had a machlokes Rashi Tosfos. The Ran Taka speaks out over here. Or I don't know if it's over here, we had earlier, the Ran speaks out that, of course, Belibai means Lamdafka, Belibai means Bepeh. It's not good enough Belibai, you gotta speak up Bepeh, and that could get involved with that Machlekes. Is it Mamish a Hefker? Or is it a Bittel? You're making it as if, Rashi, we explained, holds more like a Bittel. You're making it as if it has no Shavius, it's worth garnish to me, and therefore, you're not considered by your Rabbi Matzah, because it's not worth anything to me. That's why he said, according to Rashi, there's a concern, Lishdasa, it's beautiful, that if you find it, and it's Geshmak, a Gluskiafa, the concern is it'll be by your Rabbi Matzah, because you'll give it Shavius, and when you give it Shavius, it's valuable. Once it's valuable, it was always in your domain. It never left your domain. Just when it had no value, it wasn't by your Rabbi Matzah. Now that it has value, it's by your Rabbi Matzah. According to Taisus, it's Hefker. Once it's Hefker, the concern is maybe you'll eat it. But there's no concern that way you're going to go be kind it again. You always going to go be kind of Chametz HaPesach. The concern is you may come to eat it. Not so much a concern by your Rabbi Matzah. That's to be explained. Those two machlekes and Lishtasa. But again, it does tie into a little bit what the Yevata Beliba is. Is it a Bittel or is it a Hefker? If you remember, we had that conversation as well. Nice little chazar. Okay. Says the Mishnah, the second scenario now. So the first set of scenarios were these Valdiga mitzvahs, Karban Pesach, Mila, and Sudas Erison. Lahatzel min Nachrim. What if he's coming to save people from Nachrim, from a gang of Nachrim that are coming to do damage? Uminahar, or from a flooding river, Uminalistim, or from robbers, Uminadleka, from a fire, Uminapailas. These are all cases of Pekuch Nefesh. Uminapailas, from a building that's collapsing, and he remembers his chametz in his house, says the Gemara, Yevatel B'libai, he should just vatel his heart. Rashi points out, even if he has enough time to go back and come back in time, we made the cheshma before, by the mitzvah you can make such a cheshma, you have time or not. When it comes to these type of things, you don't make cheshmainas. Even if you have enough time, we don't take chances. Just take care of saving people, and that's it. Says the Gemara, Yevatel B'libai, we don't even get involved, entertain the cheshbon if you have enough time to go back and forth. On the flip side, lishma shvisa shurshas, if he's going to make mamish nice chazar of erevin, if he's going to make the way Rashi learns is talking about he's making an erev tchum in order to extend this tchum 2,000 amas rishus. Now, if you remember, this is actually a big topic. We had a discussion erevin. Are you allowed to make erev tchumim for rishus or only for a dvar mitzvah? According to the way Rashi's learning, this means erev rishus. It means tchum. It means literally an erev for optional purposes. This would be a raya that a person could potentially make an erev even just for optional, not just to go to a shir or bikachelim like we did discuss over there in. Towards the end of Masechet Erevin. Okay. No, you can't rely on Bittel Belibai just to save, to give yourself enough time to make your Erev Tchumim. You can't do that. You have to go lose your Erev Tchumim, unfortunately, and go back and take care of your Chametz. A similar type of halacha, not related anymore to Chametz. Now we're talking about Psul of Kachem that became Basel by Yaitza, by leaving the boundaries. One left Yishlayim. Remember, in one of his suitcases, he's leaving Yishlayim, he has Basel Kaidish on him, and he left Yishlayim, you're not allowed to do that. It became Basel now. So what's the luck? You have to burn it. So where do you burn it? Imavert Seifim. Once you pass Seifim, Machlekes Rash Teisvis. Rashlin Seifim was actually a place. Hard Seifim. It was actually a place. Teis says, no. It means any place where you can see Seifim, where the Nevi'im will be able to see the future. Seifim means seeing. Taisa says it means any place we could see Yushlayim properly still. Okay, but it's basically a place which is close proximity to Yushlayim. Once you pass Seifim, Seifim will come and just burn it where you are once you pass that place. If you have not passed Seifim yet, you go back to Yushlayim and you burn it in front of the Bira for the Atzim Racha. The Bira was a place that was designated, it was a spot on the Harabayas that was designated for burning Kachem Psulim. You have to go back to that spot and burn it in the proper place where you burn Kachem Psulim, unless you're far enough away. Once you're far away, past Seifim, then you can just burn it in its place. Vat Kamein Chayzrin says the Mishnah, how much chametz? Ad Kamein means for the amount. How much chametz? Or for how much, Kachim, does one have to be chayzer for Rav Meir Omer Zevzek Beitza, the shear of chametz, or the shear of kachim, the shear of kachim sulam, that one has to be chayzer for is the shear of a kabeitza. Rabbi Daim Rida says Zevzek Kzayas. In both cases, you go for Kzayas, not for kabeitza. The chamemrim bus kaidish Kzayas for chametz and kabeitza. It depends. Bus a hekdash, you go back for the shear of Kzayas, you have to return. Whereas chametz, you only have to return for the shear of a kabeitza, not just Kzayas, has to be a shear of a kabeitza. Okay, let's see the Gemara. Veramini, ask Gemara Stira. One is going to the suz eris in my father's house. Always going to make an erev that's optional. Very clearly, this brisa puts together suz eris in with the category of shisa shabbat rishus, which are both not considered important enough to forego the mitzvah of getting rid of the chametz, beer chametz, the drabbanon, and relying on bitli. Another relying on bitli, you have to go back. We see over here the erisin is not on the madrega of matzah of Karm Pesach and Mila Amar Brechan Leikasha Harbi Yudar Beisi. It depends who the author is. The time limit of the Brisa Suz Erisin Rishus the Rabbi Yudar Beisi Amar Mitzvah. It's a machlokes whether Suz Erisin is a mitzvah or not. Rabbi Yudar holds Rishus, so for sure you're not going to forego the mitzvah abundant of Bedikas Chametz of Bir Chametz and rely on Bittul Blibay for a Suzus Rishus. Anyway, he treats that Suzus Rishus like making the Tchumim, which is of Rishus, and go back and don't. And you have to go back and you have to tend to the Chametz and give up on your Suzus Erisin or give up on your. Shvisas Rishus. However, Rabbi Yisi holds the mitzvah, you would treat it much more chashiv, like the Karm Pesach was saying, like the Mila, and you'd be able to be vatal Levi. Says the Gemara, but even further, Hashdam Rav Yehuda, Machlekes Suda Shnia, Rav Chizda qualified at the Machlekes Rav Yehuda, and Rabbi Yisi was only by the second Suda. They used to have a first Suda of Erisin, and then a second Suda where he started to give more gifts and more presents. Says the Gemara, Machlekes Suda Shnia, Abba Suda Shushayin, Adibar Kal Mitzvah. Home Machlekes is on the second Suda, but in the first Suda, everyone agrees it's a mitzvah, so then you don't have to make this, you don't have to say our Mishnah and our Brisa says totally if Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yisi, that our Mishnah is going to Rabbi Yisi, that the Suz Erisin is a mitzvah, and the Brisa is going to Rabbi Yehuda, and the Suz Erisin is not a mitzvah. No! Both the Mishnah and the Brisa could both be Mishnah and Brisa could both be Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Yehuda himself agrees the first suit is a mitzvah. He just holds the second suit is not a mitzvah. Rabbi Yehuda holds even the second suit is a mitzvah. So if both can be Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah is going to make Rabbi Yehuda on the first suit is Erisin, and the Brisa is referring to the second suit is Erisin. Says the Marfil Tame Hava Rabbi Yehuda. I can say both Mishnah and Brisa are Rabbi Yehuda. Like Kasha, Haba Suda Rishayin, Haba Suda Shnia. On the first suit, which is a mitzvah, if Rabbi Yehuda agrees, you don't have to come back. You just mevatel b'libay. Haba Suda Shnia. In the second suit, that's when he agrees. That's when he holds you have to come back because it's not considered a mitzvah. That's considered a rishus. Tanya, we learned to the Brisa, Amar Yehuda, Ani Lashmati Lasuda as Erisin, Avalei Savlanas, Yehuda Takasin the Brisa. This is a riot to Rav Chizda, that Rav Yehuda agrees that one Suda is a mitzvah. Rav Yehuda said, I only heard about the first Suda of Erisin, Savlanas, the second Suda, which was the Suda of the gifts, that I didn't hear about, meaning it's Rishus, maybe, I didn't hear about that being a mitzvah, Amar Beis, Beis back, Ani Shamati, Suda's Erisin Vesavlanas. I heard, Beis says, about both Sudas, the original Suda of the Erisin and the Suda of the gifts, both the Sudas are mitzvahs, and therefore, Rav Yehuda would hold both the mitzvahs, Rav Yehuda would hold only the first one's a mitzvah, and the second one. So again, we can explain the mission of the Brisa in two ways. Either the Mishnah is going like a Beisi and the Brisa is going like a Yehuda, and that's why the Suda is not a mitzvah in the Brisa, or according to Rav Chizda's version and the Brisa that we just brought a riot to Rav Chizda, they're both going like a Yehuda. Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah is talking about the first Suda, and that's why you have to, you can just move out the Balibai. You don't have to go back to get rid of the Chametz because we're very important. This Suda of Erisin in the Brisa, we're talking about a Suda of Savlanas, the second Suda, that's not such an important Suda, that's a Rishus according to Yehuda, and therefore, you have no right to forego the chiv d'rabbanon of getting rid of your chametz, and you have to go back, you have to forego the Erisin Suda, the Savlanas Suda, and go back and get rid of the chametz. It's just very interesting, our whole Gemara is discussing Suda's Erisin being a mitzvah or not, and according to Rav Chizda, everyone agrees it's a mitzvah, it's only Suda Savlanas is the question. There's a machlekes in the Rishonim already, whether Kedushin itself is a mitzvah. Erisin's a mitzvah. We're discussing the Suda of Erisin being a mitzvah. There's a machlekes whether Kedushin's a mitzvah, meaning there's a famous Rush. Rush brings that the mitzvah of a person has a mitzvah to do what? His mitzvah is to procreate, peru revu, that's the mitzvah. What's kedushin? Kedushin is what we call hechsher mitzvah. In order to procreate, you have to have kedushin. You have to have a matzav of marriage in order, in a normal fashion, in order to procreate. And therefore, it's more of a hechsher mitzvah. It's not itself really a mitzvah, right? And there's discussion what he does about the brachas kedushin, right? It says the brachas kedushin is not mamish a brachas of mitzvahs. It's a brachas of shvach, right? So a different explanation, right? It's vanu al rayas, the brach we make under the chuppah, right? So, according to the Rush, Kedushin is not a mitzvah. One of the other Rishonim say, no, Kedushin itself, taking a wife, is considered a mitzvah. It's considered a mitzvah separate from Peru Revu. The Chayra, our Gemara, would certainly seem to be a raya to the Rishonim that Kedushin is a mitzvah. We're discussing the mitzvah of the Suda of Erisin. If the Suda of Erisin is a mitzvah, very difficult to say that Erisin itself is not a mitzvah, and the Suda you make for the Erisin is a mitzvah. Very, very, it'll be a very difficult thing to say. Again, the Rush would need to have a little pshetel, how to learn up our Gemara. I'm sure there is. I don't have one offhand, but that would have to be, the Rush would have to reconcile the fact that he holds Kedushin itself is not a mitzvah, So it's a suda to celebrate Hechsher Mitzvah. Could be, but it's not such a geshmaka interpretation of our Gemara. Okay, Tanya. Rav Shimon Aimer, now we're going to get to really, well, I'd call more of the Agadita. Tanya. Any suit that's not a suit mitzvah ain't tamachachem rashlan and atvenu. And memena. Any suit that's not a suit mitzvah, tamachachem shouldn't benefit from it. Meaning, tamachachem should make sure that every suit he benefits from is a suit that's mitzvah, not a suit of chaylulus. Actually, there's what suit is mitzvah? Obviously, a wedding, bris. Yeah, bar mitzvah, it depends, according to some. Yeah, that wasn't the Yom Shalom referring to. It's a different Yom Shalom. But the bar mitzvah, Yom Shalom also says in Kedushin, from the basic Mark Kedushin, that Rabbi Yossi says, if you tell me that a suma is chayv mitzvahs, I'll make a suda for the Rabbanan, because now I'm chayv mitzvahs. You see, being chayv mitzvahs is a reason to make a suda. That's one of the famous sources, the Yom Shalom and Kedushin of Chavtas, he says, to make a suda for bar mitzvah, because being finding out the chayv mitzvahs, or becoming chayv mitzvahs, is reason for a suda. But there's a different Yom Shalom referring to, that he says about a suda of a siyam. He held the suda of a siyam as such a suda as mitzvah. Yom Shalom was bothered by a question, why we don't say shasimcha b'maynai by a suda of on a siyam, whatever the siyam is, Masechta Gemara, say the Mishnah, whatever the agdara of a siyam is, we make a siyam. He's bothered. Why don't we say a nice kaddish at the end? Why don't we say shasimcha b'maynai? We say it by a wedding. We say it by a bris. Shasimcha b'maynai by a suda on a siyam. He's very bothered. We don't say that nusach. There's a beautiful pachis. I'm not time to go over now, but my son actually recently broke shem in a siyam on Masechta Yevamos in Yeshiva, and his rebbe spoke, and he actually said over the siyam shalom. He said over the pshat from the pachis Yitzchak in a nutshell. Instead of the yisaid, was that a simcha b'mayne is pshat when you have a simcha that right now is the simcha. The simcha could be fleeting, so to speak, because after the moment, after the big party, things get back to real life. So you want to kind of keep it going. We use the notion of simcha b'mayne. It's a simcha in its time, and we're trying to hope to drag out that time and let it extend. But it's a simcha b'mayne. A suda of Torah doesn't need the word simcha b'mayne. It doesn't need the word simcha b'mayne. Why? This is the Pachat Yitzchak. This is Rav Funa Zatzal. But he explains beautifully because he says Torah's megan sai, a person who sits and learns Torah, sai be'idna that you do the mitzvah, sai be'idna you don't do the mitzvah. It's different. It's more in sight. Right, other mitzvahs only make it when you do the mitzvah itself. Torah is making when you do it, when you don't do it. There's no b'mayinai. There's no time of Torah. There's no restriction to that simcha. The simcha is constant when you're learning Torah. Beautiful concept, and therefore simcha b'mayinai is restrictive. It's less than as great as it was. Upshot of the story, by the way, the Yom Shalom once said simcha b'mayinai by a siyam, and the suda broke out in Hailus. It broke out into like a little bit much more of a party, and he said it's against me. I decided to implement my own new thing of simcha b'mayinai. I still think that should be the case, but obviously it's not on me to start making new agdaras, and that's why it ended up breaking out into a party that was not so much a suda simcha. It ended up being suda more of Hailus. Okay. A little historical fact. But anyway, when you're talking about Suda's mitzvah, we're saying Chacham should only try to benefit from the mitzvah. One last point in this is that we've spoken out just the other day, that every act that we do could either be a mitzvah or an aveira. That was the Hetem Starf Lissus, so a couple of ago, we spoke out Bederach Drush. From the Svarim, that Hetem Starf Lissa means everything we're doing either is purposeful or not. If it's purposeful, it's a mitzvah. If not, that is a very big yisaid over here. When we talk about chamim for Suda's mitzvah, yeah, feasts, they should only be involved in feasts of Suda's mitzvah. But everything we eat, if we're doing what we're supposed to, and I'm not saying I'm near the Madrega, but at least if we try to be by the Madrega, everything we're eating, if we're doing what we're supposed to, is a Suda's mitzvah. It's really a mitzvah, even throughout the week. Forget about the Siyam, or forget about Shabbos Kodesh, forget about Yom Tov. If we're eating what we need to survive, to learn Torah, do mitzvahs, that's also called a Suda's mitzvah without a doubt. Kigayin Mai says to Gemara, what is an example of a Suda's mitzvah? Amar B'yechanan, says Rabbi Yechanan, Kigayin Bas Kayin Yisrael. You know what a Suda's mitzvah is? When a Bas Kayin marries Yisrael, Ubas Tamachachem La'amaretz. A Bas Kayin to a Yisrael, we were trying to explain what's not a Suda's mitzvah. Kol Suda, which is not a Suda's mitzvah, a Tamachachem shouldn't benefit from it, and what's considered not a Suda's mitzvah? A Bas Kayin marrying a regular Yisrael, downgrading to Yisrael. Or Bas Tamachachem marrying an Amaretz. These are obvious, that's the second one's more obvious. A Tamachachem, Bas Tamachachem marrying an Amaretz is a Busha, and therefore that's not called a Suda's mitzvah. What about the first one? We're clearly not Akban on it. What about the first one? So the Ben Yad already speaks out. We don't know who's Kanam these days. We don't really have Kanam Yechasim. So to be Makbin on potentially Bas Kayin, and we don't have Kanam Yechasim, if this same Kayin walk in the basement, English. Would we give him kachem today? We absolutely would not. We would not give him kachem. We don't really have a kanam yichasim, and therefore we're not so makbid on this idea of not marrying a bas kayin to a non kayin to Israel. Although we'll see more about that in a moment.
DNA stuff?
Sorry. I hear, there's discussion, there's pashas, we don't go with that. I'm pretty sure we don't. But maybe over time that'll change. I don't know. Mahi says Gemara, sorry, Damar Be'echon, Bas Kain Yisrael, Ein Zivugun Al Yafa, a Bas Kain that marries Yisrael. Again, I can't stress it enough, we're not Makbid today, it's very clear we're not Makbid, and the explanation, one of the explanations given is because we don't have to be Makbid, since we don't have what we consider Kanem Yichasim, we treat them like Kanem, we give Kibudim, we give Kayin, we give benching, but at the end of the day, Lagabi, things that are are in the bigger picture, such as this Gemara of marriage, we're not makbid that a Bas Yisrael, that a Yisrael should have married Bas Kayin, when we're not sure really that she's a Bas Kayin anyway. Okay, but the Mishnah, but Rabbi Yechon says, it's Ein Zivugan Oyli Yafa, scary stuff. What does that mean? The Zivug is not Oyli Yafa, it doesn't develop well. Mahi, Amrav Chizda, Ey Almana, Ey Gusha, Ey Zer Ein La. The end's gonna be she's an Almana, which is how many marriages end anyway, eventually. Ey Gusha, or divorce, that's not a good one. Ey Zer Ein La. Or she, they won't have children. Oh, three, very bad. I guess Amana also means an earlier Amana, not an older Amana. That's not so uncommon. Masisa Tana, Kaivra, that, he'll bury her. Aikvartai, well, she'll bury him. This, both of these mean prematurely, that's the main side, prematurely. I mean, Vyasa Danias. Well, she'll bring him to poverty. That's what I learned at the Brisa again, about someone engaging with Kedusha that's over their level. A Yisrael marrying a Bas Kayin, it's over his level. It could lead to these terrible outcomes. Aini has to come over, Rabbi Yechon, right? See, Sasha Yidbeg Zarish Aaron. One of us wants to become wealthy. Rabbi Yechon himself says, when you tell me Ein Zivul Yafa, he says, you want to be Masasher, get connected to the Zarish Aaron. Kosh Kain, should Tyro Kuna Shartan. And he, all the more so, if you have not just Kuna, if you have Tyra and Kuna, it's going to lead to riches. So is he pro getting involved in marrying Baskayans or not? Like Kasha, Habatam Chacham Abama, or it's a more simple answer. If the guy's in a Madrega, they can handle the Kedusha, that he belongs there, then it's a beautiful thing for him. Haritzi is Asher, marry Basam Chacham, he'll have Aisha, have Tyra, be Gavaldig. But Amaritz, to marry Baskayan, not so simple. Rabbi Shua Nosef Kanta Cholosh, Rabbi married a Bas Kayin and he got sick. Amar said, Oyvei, Leinichle Aaron the Adbek Bazari. Aaron is not pleased in Shemayim that I am joining into his family, Tavle Chasson and Beinot, to have a Chasson, this is Rabbi Shua, to have a Chasson like me, to have a son-in-law like myself, and that's why he got sick. Rabbi Dibar Oven, Nosef Kanta, Rabbi Dibar Oven, this is going to be a story in the opposite direction. Rabbi Dibar Oven married a Kayenis. Nafku Mine, he had two giants, as sons, Trey b'nei Simchi, two sons that got smicha, Rav Sheshes b'rei Davidi and Rav Yeshua b'rei Davidi. Rav Sheshes and Rav Yeshua b'rei Davidi both came out. This is obviously a story in the other direction, saying that when a person's on the Madrega, marrying a Bas Kayin is not a bad thing; it's a good thing. A fantastic Gemara, well, a fantastic piece from related Gemara from Daf Gimel that the Meshech Chacham brings, we'll quote in a minute once it's more relevant. Says Gemara, Amar Rav Papa, based on this, just remember this name, Rav Yeshua Brehidi. Amar Rav Papa, Ilei Nasiva Kanta Leisarti. Rav Papa said again, if I didn't marry Kanas, I wouldn't become wealthy. So again, these are a couple examples of marrying Kanam, which Bas Kanam, which worked out beautifully. Rav Idi Baravin, and Rav Papa. Rav Kana goes the other way. Rav Kana, ironically enough, his name is Kana, but from the story, it seems to be pretty clear he's not a Kayin. Rav Kana, let us be the Kanta, Legale. Had I not married a Kayin, a Bas Kayin, I wouldn't have gone to Golos. Now, it's very funny. What type of Golos did he go to? He actually ran from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Why? The Rambam of Kama tells the story that there was a guy that was about to cause some stirrups, some major issues with the Yidden, and he took matters in his own hands, and he killed the guy. This guy was going to be a Meiser, and he's going to cause an issue. Actually, it was a Yid. Sorry, it wasn't a guy. It was a Yid. It was a Yid that was going to go be master to the guy on other Yidden. And Nebuchadnezzar, it's whatever. I don't want to get into it, but it seems that it's a problem which is happening today with the different people deciding to be master on different communities, what their hanhagas are towards keeping the exact rules of in schools or shuls of being open. I don't think it's anything short of being a meiser, whatever the cheshbon is. It is a meiser anyway. So this Rav Kahana went and he killed this yid for being a meiser, but word got out, and he had to flee, and he went to Israel, and he said the fact that I was in a predicament that I had to do that is probably because I am a non-Kayan, and I married a Bas Kayan. Amrulay, when the Talmidim heard this, Halamaku Targli, so he went there to Israel, what's so big deal? Le'igolik Adigolian, she kind of said still, I wasn't, meaning other people go there to learn Torah by choice. I went there not by choice. So you're right. And Achami, he went to a makam where there's a place called Torah, Eretz Yisrael, but he went there not by choice. And if he was lamenting, he was saying, maybe it's because I married a Bas Kayin and I shouldn't have. The obvious kasha is, first of all, his name was Rav Kahana. But the Gemara in Kedusha, Daf Ches, says that Rav Kahana, we used to take Pidyon HaBen money. Rav Kahana would take a Siddur for Pidyon HaBen money. Look at if you want to turn the page for a second, the top Tesis on the top of a base, it's read from Ramad Aleph, it's on the top of a base, Tesis says, it's Mash Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana was not a Kayin, he's just the Yisrael, the married Bas Kayin. But Mark Kedusha Davcha says, Rav Kahana shakal Siddur Pidyon HaBen. He took a Siddur for Pidyon HaBen. Tesis gives an answer over there in Kedushin, and in other places in Shas, there were two Rav Kahanas. There's at least two Rav Kahanas. One was a Kayin, and one just had the name, again, Kahana makes sense, his name, he was a Kayin. One had the name Kahana and was a Kohen, and one that just had the name Kahana, but he was not a Kohen. That's there. Taisa gives the second answer. He over there, and this answer gives by us only Bishvil Ishtai. Unbelievable. His wife was a Bas Kohen, so he took the Pidgin Aben money on behalf of his wife. Unbelievable. That's how he's taking it, but it wasn't himself. Okay, but here's the Meshach Chachma I wanted to mention. Now they have pull parts of the story. We have Kahana over here that again our sugya seems to be saying pretty clear, and Taisa gives different Yeshuvim that he himself was not a Kohen. He was married to Kohen, but he wasn't a Kohen. And we had Rabbi Shua ben Idi. If you remember in Psachim Daf Gimel, this is where when people have, I think Tibur Judah, Zolzayin Gazent would have this on his fingertips. Also, if you have Shas clear and you know all the names of who said what, you get to appreciate the beauty of Gemara that much more. Meshech Chachman Pashas Emmer brings that when the Gemara in Psachim tells Daf Gimel, when Rav Kahana was sick, they sent Rabbi Shua ben Idi to visit him. Why of all people do they send Rav Shuv ben Idi to go visit Rav Kahana? Says Meshech Chachma Unzer Gemara. Because Shuv ben Idi was the son of a Yisrael that married a Bas Kayan. And he said, the reason why it's such Rav Idi. Rav Idi Bar Oven said, I had two wonderful sons, Rav Sheshes, Breda of Idi, and Rav Shuv ben Idi, because I married a Bas Kayan. I married up into Bas Kayan, and I was zeichet to have wonderful sons, Tamid Chavim, Chashev sons. Rav Kahana, we see, was lamenting the fact that what? That he was a Yisrael that married a Bas Kayan and he got into trouble. And maybe when he got sick, you'd think even more, why am I sick? Who said that? I'm sick because I married a Bas Kohen. I shouldn't have. They purposely sent Rav Shua ben Idi, says the Meshech Chachma, who was a descendant of a Yisrael that married a Bas Kohen. So Rav Kahana should see that. Don't think that the fact that you were a Yisrael married a Bas Kohen, that's your issue. V'arai, look what's in front of you. A very successful Talmud Chacham who's very healthy, who is a descendant of a Kohen's marriage, a Bas Kohen's marriage to Yisrael. Beautiful connection from the Meshech Chachma. Okay, says my friend, turn around. Seems like it. And I'm sure it's a big discussion, but it seems like 100%. 100%? Seems like it, yeah? Yeah? Yeah, it's Bichadish. Amar Bitzchak. Whoever, now this is really getting that, this is not Tamil Chamim. This is anyone. Anyone who's netted from a big party, an optional party, is gonna be safe, going to Golos. Shinemar, Vaichlum Karim, Mitzayin, Vagolam, Matech, Marbek, Uchsiv, Lachinata Yiglu, Bereish Golem. These are Psukim and Amais. So they were really giving Klai Yisrael Musar for overindulging themselves, stam parties, overindulgence, and that leads Nebuch to Gullus. Okay, Tanar Banan. Kol Tam Chacham Mar B'Sudasi B'Choyim. Tam Chacham eats excessive meals on a regular day. You know what happens? Seif Mechor's base is going to destroy his house. Mal Mesdishtai, because we have to be an Amman in the first explain. Doesn't necessarily mean Ma'amana, he's going to be so busy trying to make money to support his habits, his divus, that his wife's going to be like a Lebetik Almana, meaning the husband's around, but he's never around. Miasim is Geizlov, and he's going to orphan his Geizlov by the chicks, means over here his children. Same idea. Again, it doesn't mean he's dead, it's just going to mean he's going to make them like orphans because he's still busy giving into his vices. For Talmudim Shachman, he's going to forget his learning. Machlekis Rabbis Baislav, and he's going to major Machlekisin. With Rabbi Nishmam, his words are no longer going to be heard. Machal Shashmai, never will be Machal Shashmai, Vishem Rabbi, and the shame of his teacher, Vishem Rabbi, shame of his father. Meaning, this really gets to because the fact that person was learned, and now he's going after his taivus is a much bigger shame than a person who just never got there. He never found a flavor for learning. Okay, he does his own thing. People just take it. Doesn't make the same level of chil shem shemayim, chil shem rabbi, chil shem aviv. The garim shem ra loy levan of levan of atzef kaderes. He causes the shem ra for him, his children, his grandchildren, atzef kaderes. Shine of a pirish, chalil, a person that learned, who knows better, and then leaves is much more. A much bigger issue than someone who never got into learning in the first place. Mahi, what is this? What does it mean? He disgraces the name of his children. Amabaye, Karle Bar Machim Tanuri. They call him the son of the oven warmer, the one who's always warming up the oven in order to get, again, the Gemara's focus very much on food, of food taivas, but the oven's always hot because he's trying to always eat, indulge. Rav Amar Bar Market Bekuvi, they call him the son who dances at the taverns. Again, the guy gets drunk, he gets shikar by the bars, and he goes dancing. Rav Papa Amar Bar Melechayich Pinchi, they call him the son of the way who licks his plate. Rav Shmai Amar Bar Machrava, they call him the son of the one who folding in crouches. Meaning he falls asleep like a guy who's drunk that falls asleep on the side of the road, crouches up in the corner, and just falls asleep because he can't find his way home. That's the idea. Same idea. So again, the children will end up being called by the name of their of these disgraceful names of their father, the son of their father, and these disgraceful descriptions because of specifically, and more so because of the fact that he was a Talmud Chacham that was Pirish. Tanabatan. A person should sell everything that he has to marry a basa mechacham she emes a gaila. If chalili dies or goes into galus, he has a guarantee, so to speak, that children will become tamid chachamim. Why? Because when he dies, who's going to raise his children? Now he's not around anymore. His wife's family. Well, they're bas. She's a basa mechacham, so it's a beautiful environment for them to be raised in. On the contrary, he should not marry the daughter of amaretz she emes a gaila ban of amaretz, because if he dies or goes to galus, his children will be amaretzim. We're going to see actually in the Gemara coming up that the term amaretz and the term tamachacham, obviously they're very general and extreme, but the Gemara refers to amaretzim as people that are mamish keferlich. Not today, we have much less of amongst the firm circle chazni Hashem. We have yeshivas, we have educated people that the Nigori yeshivas, they have opportunities to become learned even after, even becoming firm later in life. We have much less of a proliferation of amaratzim. Back then, the way they describe amaratzim, first of all, they were mamish, no knowledge, number one, and number two, some of them actually were mamish criminals. We're going to see there was a more propensity to be criminals, even murderers. The Mar is going to describe very clear by being chayshid about amaratzim that he's a murderer, a much different form, vision of what we would call today amaratz today in our minds. Guys, not so learned, amaratz, he knows still much more than what was the amaratz back in the day. I'm not saying that person should go and look to marry an amaretz. I'm just saying it's certainly different. Another point in this is when we talk about a bas tamachacham or bas amaretz, it's because the notion was that especially if the husband dies, they're going to be raised in the house not just of her family, of her parents, and the people around them. Today, when you have people that are unfortunately, in the case we have single mothers raising children by themselves, and we have also, In a very good way, a lot of mothers are quite knowledgeable on their own. Even if their parents aren't so knowledgeable, they went to yeshivas, they went to Beis Akav, they went to whatever schools they went to, and they're very knowledgeable, so they could have that same status of a bas tamachacham, even if her father is takan amaretz, her father's amaretz, she could be a bas tamachacham, meaning she herself is a, like you call a boy, a ben teira, she could be a bas tamachacham for these purposes, and it would not be an issue, it would not be considered a problem marrying a girl who herself is knowledgeable, even if her family is not, because again, the whole idea of the Gemara really spells out for us is because what happens if Chalila, the guy is out of the picture, are the children going to be raised, al pi derech teira mitzvahs? The answer is yes, of course she's going to continue to raise them, al pi derech teira mitzvahs, and therefore this concern wouldn't be there. Tan rabban, lo yimrecha adam kol ma sheyesh l'person shel whatever he has, the Yisra Basam Chacham, Mer Basam Chacham, the Yisra Bitl Basam Chacham. Sell whatever he has in order to himself marry Basam Chacham, and or a person should sell what he has in order to marry off his daughter, if it costs money to marry a Talmud Chacham, his daughter to a Talmud Chacham. Mashal, a union where both sides, a Talmid Chachamim, is a mashal of Invi Agefen, Vimi Agefen, the famous song that you say by the Shaduchim always, by the Chasnas, by the Shevrachas, Dava no Miskabel, Invi Agefen, Vimi Agefen, right? The vine of the grape and the vine of the grape together, that they match up with each other, is a Dava no Miskabel, Vlais Bas Amaretz, no Mer Mas Amaretz. Why? Mashal of Agefen, Vimi Asna, because a Bas Amaretz is a mashal of Invi Agefen, today's laning, of course, the burning bush, the snap, is mashal of the Invi Agefen, Invi Asna, the grape vine, together with the thorn bush, the braids of the thorn bush, which is davar chur, which is not a very, it's disgusting. Bein miskabel, it's not miskabel, it's not acceptable to mix and match those together. What's that lashon of imvegefen? So two quick diukim in this. One is I heard from Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, where he say, what's imvegefen? Because a gefen, a vine, the grapes on the vine doesn't have its own, it's like a regular tree, like other trees. That's the tree stands by itself, or even bushes stand by themselves, and they give a fruits. The vine is just like loose branches that hang, and they need other support. The yisayid of a good shidduch is to realize that you take someone who themselves, of course, is a star, is a gvaldik shidduch, but also that the vine that they're leaning on, whether it's the parents, the grandparents, the dairus, it's a very important thing to try to get someone who, in a shidduch, where you have dairus of good prodigy, dairus of good people, not just this generation, of course. You don't dismiss the ikur is this generation. The ikur is, of course, the current person you're marrying. But as much as possible to get to get multiple layers, and the vine represents that because the vine itself is not standing. It's leaning on other stuff, trying to show that who the person you're marrying is leaning on is very important as well. That is the diak from Shlomo Zalman. I once heard, I forgot where I heard this from, another diak. It's a much more direct diak. What is it in ve hagefen? A grape is called an anav, a grape with a vase. Anavim, right? Anavim, just say Invei and Invei. Anavim, Anavim. Grapes and grapes, when they match, is a beautiful shidduch. What's Invei HaGefen? Grapes of the vine? Same idea. The answer is the same as Rosh Hashanah. It's the same idea, but you don't have to come on to the diak of it, of the vines hanging. Like, I'm not minimizing Rosh Hashanah's diak, but the point is, even the fact that we're referring to grapes of the vine, you see, it's like saying apples of the tree. Just say apples. Why are you saying of the tree? Teretz is because with the tree that it came from is also very important to know. Not just that the shidduch matches the shidduch and the generations before is also an important malach to go to shidduchim. Very beautiful idea. Top up again. Mem test on base. Tanar banon. Elimim Kadam Komashesh the person sell whatever he has, Visa Basamacham in order to marry Basamacham. It's worth to sell whatever he has to marry Basamacham. By the way, we know for mitzvahs you don't have to get rid of everything you have. But we're saying over here there's a much bigger picture. This is a classic example. I think we spoke this out the other day. And maybe it's in a different share, maybe it's a different topic I was discussing. That there are concepts that may not be the greatest mitzvah in the world, but the in terms of a level of chomer and not chomer, but lemaisa, they're more important even than mitzvah that are much more chomer. Meaning, you can have a chiv karis versus a regular lav, but the lav could be a much more chomer dikka mitzvah. The classic example where this is written by the Emes Yaakov, Rav Kamenetsky is beautiful. He writes it about marrying out of the fold, marrying out of Klal Yisrael. Nebuch, a person who marries a guy. Right? Really, the Isma Torah Pashtus is specific about the Shiva Amim. It's about the 7-8. We're not sure that's what the Shiva Amim are. Avadui, it's terrible to marry any non-Jew. But the Pashtus, the Lav, is only Shiva Amim. So why is it considered the biggest travesty in the world in Yiddishkeit when someone marries out of the fold, he marries a guy? We know, he said that's hands down considered a terrible thing when there's so many other Surim Lavim. Chivikaris, that would seem to be much worse. Again, his answer is because it's much bigger than just the chait itself. It's a complete mindset. When someone marries out of the fold, his kids aren't yidin, and it's complete taking himself out of Yiddishkeit. The act of taking himself out of Yiddishkeit is greater than any one particular avera, even a chivikaris. He's saying it would seem to be much more, you think it's much worse if a young girl and a young boy, the Nebuch, aren't being shemer terah mitzvahs, and they're being Isaac in relations, and there's nidus, it's a chivikaris. That'd be much worse. Technically, it's worse because it's chiv karis, but it's not worse because it's much more likely those people will turn themselves around and come back onto a mahalach of Torah mitzvahs. Whereas the other way, deris could be gone. So there's a concept. There's a concept that certain things may not be on a scale. When counting levels of mitzvahs, may not be called the highest level, the most chomer dikka mitzvah per se, but it's a much bigger in the bigger picture. I'm bringing it out now because we keep saying this nusach of a person should sell all that he has to marry basam. Since when do you have to sell all you have for a mitzvah? Teretz is certain things are bigger than the big picture. Yes, if a person could sell all that he has and marry basam hacham, he's changing the whole picture of his life and of his future generations. Then yes, it is kedai. Not that he's mechuyev to, but it's kedai. And it's not a steer to the idea of not spending more than a shlish or a fifth or whatever it is for a mitzvah. This breaks those kind of rules. Okay. Or the simple answer is it's just an expression. It's not literal. But okay. I like my answer better. A person can sell whatever he has. If you can't find a basam hacham, you should marry a bas gdeodar. Gdeodar in this context means people that were like the biggest askanim of the dar, right? Tam hacham and then gdeodar. Gdeodar is askanim. Obviously, not that we already said tam hacham. Not what we call Gdeodar. Blame Matzabas Gdeodar, Yisabas Rosh Knesios. If you can't find the Bas Gdeodar, the biggest askanim of the generation, go to the head of the shuls, the communities, lower levels. Blame Matzabas Rosh Knesios, Yisabas Gavet Staka, the Gavet Staka, Blame Matzabas Staka, Yisabas Mamnit Reikas, the ones that are teaching in the yeshivas, in the cheder, leis bas ameres. But whatever you should do, you should not marry his daughter off to the bas ameres. Should not marry, sorry, the daughter of the ameres. Meishen sheketz v'nishsam sheretz, because they are shkatzim sheketz, like again like critters, vermin v'nishsam sheretz, and the wives are like insects. Al b'nishsam oimer ar sheichem v'kol beimer. Curse to those that live with beimers. Again, I want to be very clear: the ameratsim that we're talking about in these gemaras are not what we would refer to today as ameres would not fit into these gemaras. These are talking about a much lower level of people, have much less knowledge, and we're not shemer. Tanya Rabbi Eimer, Amaretz Asur Echa Basar, Amaretz is Asur to eat the meat of an animal. You know why? Shnemer Zeis Teres Habayim of Aif. We darshan, what's Zeis Teira? Kalaisk Bateira, Mutlech Basbe Maif. Whoever learns Teira can eat Basbe Maif. Kalshenes Bateira, Aslech Basbe Maif. Whoever doesn't learn Teira, we're short on time, but obviously is what to speak about this. Whoever doesn't learn Torah has no right to do more to eat the basar behema vayif. He has no right. He's not above it. He can't eat the basar behema vayif. But again, we make me medayik from the pasuk. Amar Blazer, Amar it's mutter lerecha b'yom kippurim shechalis b'shabbos. Amar it's mutter to stab him, to kill him, even on Yom Kippur, and falls down on Shabbos. Amar le tamidav, Rabbi Amar le sheichtai. Why are you saying it's mutter to stab him? Why don't you say they weren't bothered that he killing him? But why don't you say mutter to shecht him? Why are you saying lashon of stabbing? Why are you saying shechting? I mean, we understand that he has to be killed. Now, why is it to be killed? By the way, first we discuss that he has to be killed because we're talking about someone that maybe was a raidif, someone that he's scared is going to kill you. Others want to say that Echami, the Marsha, and the Goddess want to say we don't mean he's killing. We mean it's a metaphor. They allowed to embarrass him for his actions. You know, stabbing him is like a way of embarrassing him. So he was saying don't stab him, just shecht him. Okay, different ways of learning the Gemara. But Amalem, again, the simple type literally means killing. Amalem zetan bracha. When you kill with a shechit, you need a bracha. If zetan bracha and stabbing doesn't need a bracha, I'd rather kill him like a behemah even without making a bracha. Amar blazer, Amar it's us l'savis b'derech. You can't accompany an Amar it's on the road. alone, shenemer kuchecha berchemecha, because Terry's the life, the length of your days, al-chayav lechas. If the Amaris doesn't care about his own life, and you think he's going to care about your life, he's chashed for tzicha. He's chashed to do things that'll let you get killed. You can't go with him on the road. Again, that's why this doesn't fit with the classic idea of what we talk about a person that's so knowledgeable today. I don't know if it fits into that together of calling someone who is yechashed for tzicha or being lax with one's life. Amaritz mutter kari kadag. Amaritz is mutter tiram open like a fish. Amar Shmuel Yitzchak Magabai, and he could do so from his back. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Akiva Kshisi Amaritz Marti. Rabbi Akiva said, when I was Amaritz, I used to say, "Mitin li tamchacham vashchenu kechamar." Who will give me a tamchacham that I could bite him like a donkey? Amar Tamid of Rabbi Amar Kekelev. They said to him, "Why are you saying like a donkey? Why don't you say like a dog?" Amar Lehem Zaneshich v'shevi etzem, because a donkey bites and he mamish breaks bones. Zaneshich v'shevi etzem. When a dog bites, he bites, he pierces the skin, but doesn't break the bones. Donkey mamish bites the bones. That's how much I want to bite a donkey. Has those big fat teeth. That's how much I want to bite them in the chumim to break their bones. Tanya, Hayomer Omer Kolmasi Bitla Amaritz marries the daughter of the Amaritz. Kilu Kaifta Umanichel Feritz. She tied her up in like a cage and she put her in front of a lion. My we Darius Veichel in the Beishes Banim. Just like the lion attacks and devours, and there's no shame. Doesn't matter if it doesn't pull it aside and no one should be watching. He doesn't care. Doesn't think I'm either. Av Amaritz Makia Ubayel Vein Lebeshes Panim. So to Amaritz, he beats his wife, and he has relations with her, and he has no shame. Tanya Blaza Eimer El Mali Anatzichem Lemasamatan. If we didn't need the Amaritz for business purposes, Hay Hargan son. Or sorry, if they didn't need us for business purposes, Hay Hargan Sonu, they would kill us. Tanya again, they're talking about people that are chayish for tzicha. Tanya Chaykia Kal Isa Patera Fei Amaritz. Whoever learns Torah from the Amaritz, Kilo Bayil Arusasal Fanav. Whoever learns Torah from the Amaritz, it's as if he's having relations with the Arusa of the Amaritz in front of him. Shenemar Torah Tziva Lanu Meisha Meirasa. Meirasa really means it's the teaching, it's the Mesira. Messira of Klal Yisrael, Altekim Rasha Elamurasa. Don't read him Rasha. Rather, read it my Rasa, the one that was betrothed, the one that was Erison. Gadol Gadela Sina Shesainim Amaritz Lamchacham Yisrael. The sin of the Amaritz hates Tamchacham is greater than the sin of Shesainim Imus Elam Klal Yisrael. The sin of the Amaratzim to the Tamchachamim is greater than the sin of the Goyim towards Klal Yisrael. This actually we see, I keep referring to the Amaritz that we refer to, our people are from who don't know so much because they may be referred to as Amaritz. Clearly, it's not the Amaritz of the Gemara, 100% no Sheikhas, but there is a concept today in the world of the unaffiliated Yid, and many of them have a certain sinna towards Yidin that Hashem Torah mitzvahs, and much greater, we see it with this expression, of course, the self-hating Jew. And it's right, very, very common, unfortunately, today especially, and very common on the liberal side of politics, where they're mamish more against Eretz Yisrael and more against Yidin than the Goyim themselves are against Eretz Yidin. It's mamish word for this Gemara. And their wives hate them even more than they do. A few more lines. Says Gemara, Tana, Shana, Pirish, Yais, Mekulam, one who learned Torah and left, we kind of alluded to that earlier in the daf, is worse than all of them. Six things were said about an Amaretz. Number one, Amaretz Lamaidis, you don't give testimony, you don't give any testimony to them. And we don't accept testimony from them. We don't reveal any secrets to them. We don't make them an administrator over the Yisemim's possessions. Nor on the Kup of Staka, they're not an administrator. We don't go with them on a road like I said before because they're chashed, they're not care about our lives. Some say we don't announce to them their lost object. We don't announce to Amaretz, if you find something amongst Amaretz, you don't announce about giving it back, returning something to Amaretz. Taisa asked the Ba'avis Kasha, if it's an Aveda, how do you know it belongs to Amaritz? If it's an Aveda, that means you don't know it belongs to. It's an Aveda, it's a lost item. How do you know it's Amaritz? Kishmak Achav from Taisvitz, answers Taisvitz. You saw a group of Amaratzim together, an item fell, it fell from one of them. You know for sure it's from Amaritz, you just don't know which one. You don't call it out when it's Amaritz. But Tanakama, why did Tanakama add this case of Aveda? Zimna Nafik Mine Zarmalia. Just because the guy is not worthy doesn't mean his children won't be worthy. Maybe his children will be worthy, and then if you give him back that Aveda they lost, it'll be able to support the child who's busy learning Torah. Vachale, Shinema Yachin Vitzadik Yilbaj. Okay, you know what? Let's pause over here. It's very long daf. We'll pick up Mitzrayim that continues. We'll pick up Mitzrayim tomorrow morning.